Hello, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret, and today we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse number 1. So if you have a Bible, open it up, and let's begin with prayer. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 7, 1 Corinthians, verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. In other words, marriage is good, but so is being single under the right conditions, as we will see. Verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. In other words, it is better to be married than to commit sin because you're not married. And will you notice that marriage is God's way to avoid sexual sin? Living together apart from marriage or any other kind of sexual arrangement is not of God. It is sin. It is wrong. You say, well, that puts me in a bind because I can't find a husband or wife. Well, yeah, you're in a bind. But when did God ever say that living for him would be easy? Living for Jesus is a challenge for everyone because everyone has temptations that they have to overcome. Every day we're faced with temptations. There are no excuses. We just have to do it. We just have to draw closer to Jesus and live for him. But you don't water down the Word of God and make other arrangements that are unscriptural. I mean, I guess you can, but you're going to be in trouble with him, and it's sin. Verse 3, let the husband render unto his wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. To withhold what rightfully belongs to a husband or a wife is sin. And you know what I'm talking about. It is sin. It's wrong. You know, people talk about, you know, a spouse committing adultery and how wrong that is. And of course that's wrong. But withholding what your husband or your wife have coming, according to God, that's just as much a sin. And so to withhold what rightfully belongs to a husband or wife is sin. It's sin, and it is also cooperating with the devil. And whether the person realizes it or not or admits it or not, that you're on the same team as the devil. It's a sin. And it's also setting their marriage partner up for another sin, sexual immorality of one form or another. Verse 4, the wife has not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband has not power of his own body, but the wife. You know, once a person gets married, their body belongs to their spouse as well as to them. And this is not supposed to be some kind of a legalistic thing, and it certainly isn't something like a hammer that a husband can use against a wife. That's completely foreign to Scripture. The husband, the body of a husband and wife belong to each other. That's clear. But let's temper it with the Word of God a little bit. Within the boundaries of love, within the boundaries of respect, and of course, Holy Scripture, their bodies belong to each other. Verse 5. Defraud not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Husbands and wives should not refuse each other physically, except for a short time, if both agree, so that they can devote themselves to God. But again, it's supposed to be for a short time. And it's supposed to be something that they both agree on. And then they're to get back together and have a normal relationship. Because of what God says right here. And this is what I was talking about. You're on the devil's side if you withhold from your husband or wife. You withhold, you're drawing a target on your partner's back, and you're handing the devil a rifle. 6. But I speak this by permission and not by commandment, meaning no Christian is commanded to get married, nor are they commanded to be single. It just is whatever is best for that individual, whatever works out best for them and for their walk with the Lord is what they should do. 7. For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man has his proper gift of God, some after this manner and another after that. Do you know that marriage is a gift from God? And being able to handle singleness is also a gift from God. And actually, according to the Bible, being single has some advantages because there are less obligations, and therefore more time can be spent with God in doing His work. Verse 8, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. If you can handle being single like the Apostle Paul, that's great. Because then you have more time for Jesus. And there's a bigger principle here, actually. Don't get involved in anything that might slow down your work for the Lord or hinder your walk with Him. If something hinders your walk with Jesus, then stay away from it. Don't go there. Don't even start to go there. You know, if you want to live for Jesus, then you got to get serious about it. Paul is saying, if you're single and you can handle it, then stay single and live for Jesus apart from the concerns of family life. And that's the principle. Don't do anything that'll slow down your walk with the Lord. That should be the most important thing. And you shouldn't roll the dice with it. You shouldn't put it in danger. Verse 9, but if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. Being single and content is the best if you're a Christian. Being single and constantly fighting off temptation is terrible. So pray for a wife, pray for a husband, because it's better to be married than it is to struggle with sin all the time. 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Some Corinthians were actually being taught that in order to show complete devotion to Jesus, they had to divorce their husband or wife. Some were thinking, but I got to get a divorce so I can spend more time doing things for Christ. God says, no, I'm not commanding anybody to get a divorce. If you're married, stay married. A Christian can still live for Jesus being married. 11. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. If a couple separates without biblical grounds, then they should stay single or return to each other. And by the way, contrary to what some Christians believe, divorce is not a sin. Do you know that? Divorce is never a sin. God doesn't like it. But the divorce itself isn't the sin. Remarriage to someone else, if there's been no biblical grounds for the divorce, is the sin. And even that sin is forgivable if the Christian confesses. It's no different than any other sin. Again, contrary to what some Christians believe and how some Christians behave toward a divorced person, it's no different than any other sin. The fallout may be more serious, but as far as being forgiven and restored to God, there's no difference. And there's a lot of Christians who think that it's an unpardonable sin. You can't be forgiven that. Well, maybe you can be forgiven, but you know God will never use you again. Or you'll look down upon as a second-class Christian. Verse 12. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife who believes not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which has an husband who believes not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. If a non-Christian spouse is willing to live with their Christian husband or wife, then the Christian should be willing to do that. But that assumes, however, that the Christian is living for Jesus and doesn't compromise in order to keep the unsaved husband or wife happy. I mean, I've heard some crazy things said by Christian so-called ministers and psychologists. Christian so-called psychologists. Well, now, if you're saved and you're married to a husband who's not saved, and he gets upset when you read the Bible, then don't read the Bible. Or he gets upset when you want to go to church on Wednesday night, then don't go to church on Wednesday night. And I'm thinking, are you out of your mind? Get your nose out of the psychology book and get it into the Bible, and you won't say such stupid things. So stay married to an unbeliever if it's not a problem that you live for Jesus the way you should. If you got to compromise, then tell your husband or wife to hit the road. Verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. A little holiness in the family is better than none. One God-fearing parent is better for a child than no God-fearing parents. And that's why the Christian husband or wife should not divorce their non-Christian partner simply because they're not saved. God doesn't command you to do it. They're not saved, so divorce them. No. Because the prayers and the holiness of the Christian in the family will have some sort of positive effect on the child and maybe even on the unsaved partner. Verse 15. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. If the spouse of a Christian doesn't want to be married to their Christian partner anymore, then God tells the Christian to go ahead and get a divorce. It's better to be separate and have peace than to be together and at each other's throats and have a miserable life. And as I said before, God, he does hate divorce. But there are times when he makes exceptions because he loves his children. You know, we read in the Gospels that Jesus set aside the letter of the Sabbath law in order to be compassionate to people. And God is also willing to set aside the letter of the law of marriage, which he wants to be permanent, but he's willing to set aside the letter of that law too in order to be compassionate to his people. He wants us to be at peace, and sometimes divorce is the lesser of two evils. I look at it this way. In baseball, it's never a good thing for a pitcher to walk a batter because it puts a runner on first base. That's never a good thing. But in certain circumstances, intentionally walking a batter is the lesser of two evils because that batter might get a key base hit or a home run, and so the pitcher walks him, even though a walk is never a good thing. And it isn't. It's never a good thing. But sometimes a walk is the lesser of two evils. It's better than giving up a home run. And in the same way, divorce is never a good thing. But sometimes it's the lesser of two evils. And just in case you have not noticed, many times in this fallen world, we have to choose between bad and worse. Not every choice is between good and bad. Verse 16. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether you will save your husband, or what knowest thou, O man, whether you shall save your wife? Someone says, I can't get a divorce. I just can't because, you know, my husband might get saved through me. Yeah, and he might not. And then you would have put up with a miserable life all for nothing. By the way, God has plenty of people that he can use to bring someone to Christ. He doesn't need you so badly that you have to stay in a horrible marriage. Verse 17. But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Serve Christ in the situation you are in, and do the best that you can. If you can change for the better within scriptural bounds, then do it. If you can't, then play the hand that you've been dealt. Verse 18. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. And back in those days, some Jews who had been circumcised because they were Jewish, of course, were becoming Christians. And some Gentiles who were not a part of the Jewish religion and therefore had not been circumcised as a religious rite, they were becoming Christians as well. The Jewish Christians, though, were trying to force the Gentile Christians to get circumcised, saying that they needed to go through that religious ritual in order to be saved in addition to Jesus. And God is saying here, quit trying to shove someone into your little mold. If I've accepted them through my son, Jesus Christ, and I have, if they have received him as Lord and Savior, then just leave them alone. They don't have to be like you. I just can't stand when you have overbearing Christians trying to shove other Christians into their little mold. That is so unbiblical, and it does damage to people's faith. Verse 18, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Circumcision was part of the law that Christ did away with on the cross. The important thing today is not going through an Old Testament ritual. The important thing today is not going through a New Testament ritual. And I'm not saying baptism isn't important. I'm not saying that communion isn't important. Of course they are. But the important thing today is pleasing God by loving Jesus and keeping his commandments. Many people focus on things that really don't matter. The Bible says the important thing is faith working through love. 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. If the Lord has received you because you have received his Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, then who is man to question that and try to make you to be something different than you are? They're out of line. Just watch this, okay? Listen to this. Be content with who you are in Christ. Jesus accepts you, so other people need to accept you as well. Jesus accepts you, so accept yourself and don't try to be like others, and don't let others tell you that you have to be like them, because you do not. Next time somebody tries that on you, tell them to give you a Bible verse, and they won't find one unless they twist the scripture. Give me a call. I'll do what I can to help you. Verse 21. Are you called being a servant? Care not for it. But if you may be made free, use it rather. God says that that we are to be content no matter what state we're in. That's what the Bible says. So contentment is a command, but that doesn't mean that we can't try to improve our situation. Advancement is fine, as long as advancement doesn't become our God. Change is fine, as long as we don't allow change to become our God. Verse 22, for he who is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he who is called, being free, is Christ's servant. So what he's saying is that our position in Christ and our relationship with Jesus transcends all personal situations. At least it should. Jesus is the equalizer. In Christ, we can experience inner freedom, whether our situations are good or bad. 23. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Put Jesus first. We have no right to allow ourselves to become slaves to anything in this godless world. We have no right to allow ourselves to become slaves even to good things. Jesus bought us out of hell by his death, and so we should be his servants forever, no one else's, or nothing else's. Because sometimes people are in bondage to things as well as to people. 24, brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Change your situation if you're able to improve it. And by all means, if your situation is sinful, change it. But don't make a God out of just ordinary change, okay? Don't worry about things that you can't change either. We have Christ. He'll help us to endure. 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. This is talking about unmarried women. Yet I give my commandment as one who has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress, and that would have been persecution by Rome. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Are you bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. Just don't make things any more complicated than what they have to be, is what he is saying. If you're married, that's fine. If you're not married and you can handle it, that's fine. And by all means, don't rush around trying to find someone to marry. Okay? Just put God first. Put him first. Focus on him. And if he wants you to marry somebody, he'll bring somebody across your path. And if he doesn't, well, then he doesn't. But you got to put him first. Or you're going to, you know what's going to happen? You're going to end up with some loser who's going to be nothing but a nightmare for you. Verse 28. But and if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. In other words, I want to spare you some problems if I possibly can. Marriage can be wonderful, but sometimes it comes with complicated problems, especially if one of the partners serves the Lord and the other one doesn't. And a lot of guys, a lot of women, I think I've known many cases of men who want a woman so bad, they put on a real good act until after the marriage. And then their true character comes to the surface. Verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remains that both they that have wives be as though they had none. If you're married, be the best husband or wife that you can be, but make sure that God is more important to you than your spouse. Verse 30. And they who weep as though they wept not, and they who rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they who buy as though they possess not. Don't let happiness or sadness or anything else drive a wedge between you and Jesus. And anything can do that, you know. Good times, bad times, prosperity, poverty can easily consume Christians. And if that's allowed to happen, it becomes a wedge between us and our Savior. And it's important to be on guard so that that doesn't happen. 31. And they who use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. Make good use of the world. God has given us all good things to enjoy. So enjoy the world the best that you possibly can. And I'm not saying the sinful things of this world. I'm talking about things like nature and just nice things. But don't become too attached to it. Don't live for the things of this world. Don't let those things become the most important thing to you, even if they're good things, because this world is going to pass away, and one of these days it's going to be gone, or you're going to die one of these days, and either way you're not going to have it. 32. But I would have you without carefulness. In other words, I would not want you to be burdened down with care. And it is good to carefully consider our options and make choices that will result in the fewest complications. Because the simpler we keep our life, the more freedom we will have to serve Christ, and the happier we're going to be as well. Again, verse 32, but I would have you without carefulness or without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things belong to the Lord, he that he may please the Lord. A married man is able to serve the Lord, but it's different than being single. A single Christian can devote more of their time to Jesus, doing whatever he wants them to do, just more freedom, that's all, with fewer distractions than if they were married. 33, but he who is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. And that's a good thing, because a husband should please his wife and should care for her. And next to doing what Jesus wants him to do, and actually it's a part of what Jesus wants him to do, his wife should be the most important thing to him. And actually, it's not one and two. They both are meshed together. Because if Jesus is number one in the life of a husband, then his wife is going to be top priority as well. Pleasing her, taking care of her within the bounds of Scripture, which is very pleasing to God. Verse 34. There's a difference between also between a wife and a virgin. An unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be both holy in body and in spirit. Notice how God equates an unmarried woman with a virgin. It was just assumed that that's the way it should be. Verse 35. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you. So God has said all these things that he has said in this chapter so far, not to keep us from being married, not to keep us single, nothing. He just wants us to do what is fitting for us and along with that, what will enable us to serve him the best. Verse 35. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Good to be married. However, reality is a married person usually has many more things to juggle than a single person. You know, they have to cram in a few minutes with God here and there between cooking and cleaning and dishing dishes and work and changing diapers and shopping and spending time with their husband and spending time with their children and on and on. Personal time with Christ is sometimes hard to find for a married person. And that's all God is saying here. Verse 36, but if any man think that he behaves himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will, he sins not. In other words, if a man and a woman really like each other to the point where spending time together is like playing with fire, then they should marry. Either that or stay away from each other. 37. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who gives her not in marriage does better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Especially verse 39, I want to focus on Christians must only marry Christians, no exceptions, period. God limits our choices in order to limit our troubles. I once ministered as an interim pastor for several months in a church in another town, and there was a lot of problems, and every single major problem that I dealt with in that church, including a gruesome murder, could be traced directly back to the sin of a Christian marrying a non-Christian. I will never do it. I will never perform a marriage, never have, never will, between a Christian and a non-Christian. It is unbiblical. If you want to be a part of this ministry, you can be. Our address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. Again, Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. Your prayers and your financial support are greatly appreciated. Again, one more time, the address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. And I want to encourage you, as I do every week, to check out the Scripture Verse by Verse website. If you want to grow in your knowledge of the Word of God, if you want to draw closer to Jesus, there's only one way to do that, and that's through the written Word of God, studying the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation. And, you know, one of the reasons I started this website is I really couldn't find any ministry online that taught the Bible verse by verse. There are ministries online that teach it verse by verse, but it's more chapter by chapter or paragraph by paragraph or book by book. I teach it verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Study every verse of the Bible along with me. The web address is thebibleversebyverse.com. That's thebibleversebyverse.com. It's there for your edification, to strengthen your faith, and to draw you closer to Jesus. One more time, thebibleversebyverse.com. And our address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. Thanks for spending this time with me. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.